Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now Wednesday night inspirational Bible study. I, your host, Diane Adams, is elated and so thankful and grateful just to be with you again on Wednesday night. I thank everyone for their calls of concern, and I'm just grateful, and I'm glad to be back, and I hope, you know, I don't have to do anything to miss again, because when, you know, I don't get to be with you guys on Wednesday night, it's like a void that can't be filled unless we come together on Wednesday night. And I thank God for the privilege and the honor to be back on tonight. It's just a good feeling. I thank y'all for, you know, the concern with my health, and I want you to know the procedure that I had done on last week. You know, it's coming along fine, and God is still in control, and he's working it out for my good. And, you know, you have to be patient, and you have to, you know, allow everything to do what it needs to do. But I'm just telling you that I'm grateful and I'm thankful, and I'm glad to be back with you guys, because I love y'all so much. And I thank y'all for taking the time out your schedule to call in on Wednesday and look for it on Wednesday. And it's an amazing thing, you know, that everything shows up on the Internet, and the programs are on the Internet, and a lot of people know it. And even though I haven't been on the air, the numbers are still, you know, rising, because people have been calling and getting the, you know, listening to the programs on the Internet, and that's a blessing. But we're going to go ahead and get into the lesson. And this lesson, after being down and not being able to do too much, it make you look at TV and you see just how crazy everything is going, and what, you know, the news tell you, you know, this world seems like it's going to hell in a handbasket, you know, and greed and crime and evil is also prevalent. You know, it lets us know that Satan is on his job, and we as Christians should learn and want to take our rightful place. You know, what all you seeing? You see more evil than good, so that's what you think Satan's winning. He's not winning, because God is in control. But he's getting his stuff out there. He's not taking no time off. He's pumping up the volume, and he's trying to make everything that good look bad, and he's trying to take our youth, and he's trying to take our lives, and he's using the sin-sick world we live in, because when sin came in the world, you know, it became a sin-sick world, and there's sickness on every side, and it's just a lot. But you know, the Bible teaches us that we have to live in this world, but we don't have to be of this world. And for those who don't understand that, you need to get to understand that, and then walk in your rightful place. We can't change everything. We can't save everything. We can't be everything to everybody. But we can let our light so shine that men may see the works and glorify the Father. We can let our light so shine that someone would see your life and say, "Ooh, I want some of that." But if we so entangled and entwangled into this world where we mix and blend in with the world so well, then nobody can't see no difference in you. Each one of us have our own responsibility. We're not afforded the privilege to sit down, relax, and sit back and talk about let the groove move us. We got to be about our Father's business. If there's no evidence in your life that whose side you belong on, I say get your program and get it done right. And my program for tonight is how much is enough and how much is too much. You know, we live in this world where, you know, it just seems that it's never enough. But right now I'm going to go ahead into prayer. If anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone and I'll cut on your mic and you could come in and pray. But we got to get busy, y'all. We got to get busy. Anyone would like to pray, press the one button and I'll open up your mic. Caller, your number is 504. I think they must have hung the, just press the number, so I'm not gonna push it. If you want to pray, press the one button. Okay, there you go again. 504-241-4444. If you want to pray, your mic is open. If you don't, I'll just cut it off.
Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to go through this day and still in my right mind. But, oh, Heavenly Father, I have so much to be thankful for, Lord. Lord, you brought me from a mighty, mighty long way, Lord. I thank y'all for y'all prayers, Lord. I thank y'all for y'all blessings, Lord. I thank God for just allowing me to get back into this Wednesday night Bible study. God, you are awesome. You are so awesome and omnipotent. In the name of Jesus, Lord, touch all our hearts. Open up our minds so we can learn more about your word and not this cruel world that's around us. Lord, I love you, and I can't do without y'all. Bless all the children, Lord. Bless the sick and the shut-in. Touch Minister Diane Adams, Lord. Whatever she needs is already said and done, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Bless everybody that's listening tonight, because God let you hear, because this is where you were supposed to be. Lord, just bless our children, Lord, our grandchildren. School is back open, Lord. Cover all of them with your arm of protection and be a fence around them every day. Lord, I need you right now, Lord. I need you, Lord. Just continue to strengthen my feet, Lord, so I can do your will and walk around heaven and bless somebody on this earth. Because, Lord, my feet been giving me so much pain from side effects from the chemo, but I thank God I'm still able to walk. It's a little uncomfortable, but I thank God I still have my feet, because somebody don't have no feet. But Lord, as I give you all the honor and the glory, to let you know, I know who you are. I know who you are, and I thank God for having you in my life, Lord. Let this spirit go around all of us and touch our hearts, that minister that ain't going to deliver your word tonight. Lord, we love you. Bless all of us, Lord, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
And let the church say amen. Sister Cynthia Sanders is the one that we was praying for, because she had cancer, and she's been going through chemo, and we've been lifting her up. So don't forget her name, Cynthia Sanders. Keep lifting her up in the mighty name of Jesus, because we have to pray for one another. Thank you, Sister Cynthia. Our lesson tonight is how much is enough and how much is too much. Tonight I'm coming from the book of Luke. I'm going to be in the 12th chapter, so get your Bibles, and I'll give you a chance to get your Bibles. Get your Bibles, and while you're getting your Bibles, I'm going to play a song that I think fits in with the lesson. So after the song come on, we're going to go into the lesson. The title is How Much is Enough and How Much is Too Much, and we're coming from Luke, the 12th chapter, the 13th to the 21st verse. And those who don't have your Bible, just maybe get you a piece of paper and a pencil. You come into Bible study. If you go to school to study something, you always bring material. So just think about it. Get prepared. The song is coming on. And then we're going to go into the lesson. Be blessed.
But in spite of everything I've been through, I still gotta say thank you. I've been up and I've been down. Had my life turn.
everything you've done in my life. I say thank you. Just want to thank you. I shall say thank you. Oh, thank you. Hey, I thank you. Just want to say thank you.
And that record was I Still Say Thank You. You know, there's so many things that we could be grateful for. You know, like the, you know, so many more callers has come on. So I'm going to say the topic in the scriptures again, and we're going to go into the lesson. The topic is how much is enough and how much is too much. And it's coming from the book of Luke, 12th chapter, 13th to 21st verse. You know, all the time I like to give background because, you know, when you pick up the Bible, you know, some people always tell me, well, Minister Diane, I don't know what to read, so I just open the Bible and wherever it stopped, that's where God wanted me to read. You know, I ain't going to have a problem with that because at least you're reading. But, you know, there's several ways to study the Bible, and there's several things necessary to study the Bible. But I always give background because, you see, the Bible is 66 books, and to some people it's very intimidating. But the more you know about the Bible, its books, its characters, the smaller the Bible will become to you. That's why whenever I do my lesson, I always do a background on somebody, and because the lesson is coming out of the book of Luke tonight, I'm going to use Luke. You see, the book of Luke was written by Luke. And many times you ask somebody to name the 12 disciples, and because there's four Gospels, and it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're going to always figure they got four. They're going to say four of them is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But Luke was not a disciple. Luke wasn't a physician. But Luke, nor was Mark a disciple. Only two disciples of the writers of the Gospels was Matthew's and John. Luke was not a disciple, and neither was Mark. But Luke wrote the book of Luke, and Luke is the third and the largest book of the four Gospels. It tells the origin, the birth, the death, the ministry, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ. Now, so when I say this, if you're looking for the birth of Christ, or you're looking for the death of Christ, or you're looking for the origin of Christ or his ministry, you could go to the book of Luke. I hope after this introduction of Luke, you know, whenever you see the book of Luke, bring up some of these things that I'm saying to your memory so you could, you know, keep them all together and you'll know something about Luke. You see, the book of Luke was written to give a reliable and precise record of the history of Jesus Christ's life. See, Luke spells out the purpose for writing in the first four verses in his chapter. When you read the book of Luke in the first four chapters, you're going to see. He's going to say why he's writing. That's, you know, those things are important. Not only as a historian, but also as a medical doctor. Luke paid great attention to details, including dates and events that happened throughout the life of Jesus. A theme that is emphasized in the Gospel of Luke is the humanity of Jesus Christ, Christ as a man, and his perfection as a human. You see, Luke want to break it down. If you really read Luke and you put precept upon precept, you could maybe get a better glimpse. And for those who don't believe that God is Christ and Christ is God, could understand, and they believe that God cannot be a man, they could understand a little bit better if they read and put precept on precept in the book of Luke that will lead them to let them know that God is Jesus Christ, and God allowed himself to become man. You see, each gospel was inspired and written for a specific audience in mind. Let me show you how awesome God is. You know, we say the word of God is written by man, but it's inspired by God. So that means God selected everybody that he wanted to write each one of these 66 books, and what he wanted to put in it. You either believe it or you don't, because people say that the word of God is watered down because it came down from man, and man switch it and switch it and switch it and switch it. The point is, see, all of this thing with us loving on God and God loving on us, it's all by belief. You have to believe that Jesus is the Savior. You have to believe that God allowed himself to be wrapped up in flesh and became a man to walk on the earth to give us example. You have to believe that the word of God is true. But when you look at it and see the awesomeness of how God did, he allowed each writer to have a specific audience in mind. You know, he allowed the writers to speak with each audience to comprehend the information on their own level, using the language and culture that they were familiar with. See, God took time to do that. That's awesome. That's awesome. And because Luke was a physician, he allowed Luke to talk about the humanity of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ as a man. And I think that is so deep. You see, the prominent theme of the book of Luke is the perfect human Jesus Christ. The Savior entered human history as a perfect man. He himself offered the perfect sacrifice for sin, therefore providing the perfect Savior for mankind. Check out Luke. He's letting you know that. Luke is careful to give details and accurate records of his investigation so the reader can trust with certainty that Christ is God. Luke also portrayed Jesus' profound interest in people and relationship. He showed that Jesus was compassionate to the poor, the sick, the hurting, and the sinful. He loved and embraced everybody. Luke is letting you know that, y'all. Our God became flesh to identify with us, to show us how his show us his genuine love. That's what God did. Only this perfect love can satisfy our deepest needs. And if you want to know, you know, back then in those days, when women wasn't considered and wasn't counted with much value, you know, but Jesus Christ, if you look at it, you know, when he was doing his ministry, the women took care of Jesus Christ. That's why I say Mary Magdalene was, and them was the first pastor's aid club. You see, they took care of Jesus Christ, and Jesus loved the women, and he had them in their heart. So if you check out the writing of Luke, you'll see, interesting to know, women are given an important place in Luke's writing. So I hope, you know, when you hear something, you have to meditate it and keep it in front of you to keep it. So I hope you take those facts about Luke, and when you begin to read the Bible, you might just want to go to Luke and see that these things hold true. So that was a little background on Luke. Remember, Luke was a physician. He was Paul's physician. And another thing about Luke wrote the most writings in the Bible, because Luke wrote the book, the Gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts, which the book of Acts is the longest book in the Bible. And even though that's little tidbits and little facts, if you hold on to all of those tidbits and facts, you're going to have a lot of facts. And the Bible is not going to be intimidating, and the word of God is going to start jumping off the pages at you. And the more you got in you, the more the Holy Ghost could take and illuminate and revelate. But you got to get it in you. And we're going into the lesson now. We're in Luke, the 12th chapter, and the 13th verse. And it said, and one of the company said to him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, For a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possessed. What was happening here, Jesus was teaching, and he knew that his time on earth was coming to an end. Y'all got to remember, when Jesus was born, the first time we hear anything about him in the Bible is when he was 12 years old, you know, when they made the trip to Jerusalem, and he was in a synagogue with the big boys teaching and holding his ground. That was 12 years old. And then here we see Jesus when he was coming, and he was getting his disciples, well, when he got baptized and on the scene. So now that's when he was 30. And by the age of 33, Jesus had died. He was buried, but he had resurrected. So Jesus' ministry was only 3 years old. I mean, 3 years long. And what he was doing was teaching and preaching and trying to get them all to see, because, you know, it's like, you know, I'm not going to be here long. You know, like when you know you're going, you know, it ain't going to be long before you die, and you trying to clear up business, and you trying to tell your children some knowledge that they don't make mistakes, and you doing all of these things. You see, that's what Jesus was doing. He was pumping up the volume. He was trying to give them all that he had that they could hold on to, because he wasn't going to be with them forever, and he knew his time was short. So he was going around teaching, and when he was teaching, this one of the people in the crowd asked him that question that I said. He was teaching, and somebody said, well, Master, can you let my brother give me some of the inheritance? You know, someone in the crowd asked him to make his brother divide his inheritance with him. He didn't ask if he would. He was really like making a demand. One thing in life you got to remember, people always want what they want from you. They don't care what you have to do to get it. They don't care if what they want from you, you need it as well. People always want what they want from you. He wasn't grateful to have the master in his presence teaching, but his only was concern was his need. He was displaying a spirit of covetousness. And, you know, in the Bible, under the Ten Commandments, one of it is covetousness. You know, covetousness is trying to cover what somebody belongs to. Coveted is wanting or coveting, trying to cover something that belongs to someone else. You know, like the Bible says, do not covet thy neighbor's wife or thy neighbor's ass or thy neighbor's house. You know, do not covet it. Do not take it. Do not leave it alone. It's not yours. But he had a spirit of covetousness because he was trying to get what belonged to his brother. Another thing of spirit of covetousness is when you just sit down and you see something somebody have and you got to have it. That's a spirit of covetousness. You're trying to covet it. You're trying to get it. Come on now, y'all. You know, the TV, not that always is somebody else stuff, but the TV come out and they say, I got a, whatever, I'm being hypothetical, MB6. He's saying in 2 weeks we're coming out with an MB7, and I got to have it, I got to covet it. And you got to have it. That's a spirit of covetousness. You have to watch these spirits that dwell within you, because they're on you and you don't even know it, and you just be being led by those spirits. You see, Jesus looked at the man's heart, the attitude, and his intent. When we bring problems to God in prayer, he often does the same thing with us, showing us how we need to change and grow in our attitude towards the problem. And sometimes it's only a test. The answer is often not the one that you're looking for, but it is more effective in helping you trace God's hand in your life. So what did I just say? The answer you may be looking for is not the one you want, but if you take and meditate and see what's happening, you could trace the hand of God, hallelujah, and see what God is trying to do in your life. And you could be patient and wait on God and accept his will, not your will. You see, this was neither the time nor the place to bring up such matters, even though the man didn't fully understand. But you see, he knew that there was something different about Jesus, And if he could get Jesus to agree with him, everything would be all right. But you see, Jesus went on to tell a man, things does not make or break you. It is not what you have, but who you are in Christ Jesus. When will we learn that, y'all? Can we be settled in who we are? Will we ever be settled in what we have? How much is enough? And how much is just too much? We could look at the world today and we see that everybody is driven by not enough. The people getting a big paycheck at the job and it's not enough, so they start cheating on the time. Come on now, y'all. It's just, it's just not enough. They want it all. Most people want it all, and if you got all of it, what would you do with it? Jesus said, I am not the judge or the divider over you, and there are courts and to take care of these matters. Jesus wasn't telling them, I can't judge it. Now, let's get it right, or that I'm not a judge. But you see this matter here? I'm not going to touch that. He said, because I am the judge, but I'm the righteous judge of Jesus of God, and I will judge it all, but in my time. Jesus is saying a good life has nothing to do with being wealthy. With this in mind, you should be on guard against greed, always desiring what you don't have. And I don't know if you notice, but everything is not for everybody. You know, when I was young, I thought I was going to be an entrepreneur because I thought I had skills. You know, I thought I had it. I thought I had it going on. And I thought that I would be an entrepreneur and I would, you know, be like a Popeye. And Popeye came out when I was kind of young, and I wanted one of them experience, you know, flip a piece of chicken and it goes so, you know, out there. But years passed, and I had a good life, you know, but I realized I wasn't going to be rich. But I got content, like Paul said, in the state that I was in. And I focused on not what I didn't have, but what I did have. And I understand that everything that God had given me was not just for me. I understood that I was a steward. And a steward is someone that take care of something that belongs to someone else till they come back. And when I understood what a steward was, I wanted to be a good steward. And, you know, I took it serious what God had put in my hand. And I didn't want to just be tricking it off, just to be tricking it off here and there and just, you know, doing this, you know. I understood that if you don't live below your means, you will never have nothing on the side. And all of those things came into play. And believe me, you know, what I had is enough. You know, I don't go chasing a ghost or go trying to get another thrill or trying to, you know, do something funny to get some more money, you know, and all of that. You know, one day I woke up, I said, Lord, I say, the things I used to do, I ain't going to do no more. Because if you bless me, where I have everything that I need and some of the things that I want, and I'm not outdoors and in the rain and all like this, I start feeling as if I didn't want to make it, almost like I would be making monkey shine of God, that I, you know, always staying in the need of. So if I need all the time and nothing is working for me, then what do that say about my God? But if God is supplying your needs according to his riches and glory and keeping you in high standards and keeping you, you know, from being outdoors and keeping, you know, you should want to just say thank you and realize when enough is enough. you know, everybody's story is not mine, and I'm just sharing mine because I'm talking. But, you know, the fact of the matter is you have to ask yourself, and how much is enough for you has nothing to do with me. And I'm not saying that God does not want you to have, or God don't want you with the finer things. That is not what's being said. But you have to realize, and each and every one of us have to realize in our own life, how much is enough and how much is too much. You see, when we focus on things we don't have, we can't see what we do have. You have to remember, advertisers spend millions of dollars to entice us to think that if we buy more and even more of their products, we will be happier, more fulfilled, or even more comfortable. You know, they do their best. You remember I told you Satan tried to make everything that's good look bad and everything bad look good and everything that's right look wrong and everything wrong look right. And I'm going to tell you, there's no right way to do wrong. Stop going around and, you know, I know this ain't right, but I did it right. How can you? There's no right way to do wrong, and there's no wrong way to do right. It's either right or it's wrong. You don't, you're not afforded the privilege to say because you did it a certain way, like, you know, a long time ago. Well, I ain't going to say long, but when I used to be on these jobs and these men, you know, would have a woman and they had a wife and, you know, they would stick their chest out so proudly and say, well, I'm so glad I do it right because, you see, my house, my street lady don't interfere with my house and I keep it separated. And that's, you know, that's the right way to do wrong. No, 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 no. You're making it up as you go and you ain't afforded the privilege. You see, they do their best to make the advertising and Satan and the world and evil and darkness do their best to make their perceptions, make you take their perception of what makes you better until it becomes your reality, and then you accept it as truth. But the only truth, good life, is living in a relationship with God and doing his work. If we look at the 16th verse, and it says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruit? And he said, this will I do. This the man talking. He said, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all of my fruits and goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You see, when the man in the beginning, when the man asked the question and asking Jesus to have his brothers to give him part of his inheritance, see, didn't Jesus take time? And that's why he used parables. You know, I say a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. You see, Jesus took and decided to speak to the man, but he did it in a parable, in a story. And then he gave us this scenario of this man who had so much and his bones got filled, and he had to decide what to do, and he decided to tear those barns down and build new barns. And then he said, after he got all of the new ones filled up, he said, he talked to himself. You know, he's feeling good, patting himself on the back. He said, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You see, Jesus taught this parable about a rich fool. The man brought forth plenty, so much that he had no room to store it. He should have asked himself, how much is enough and how much is too much? You see, the more he got, the more he wanted. At one point, I could imagine that he thought that the firstborns he had was pretty big, and that if he could only field those bonds, it would be a wonderful thing. But yet, after he got those bonds filled, and he decided to want more, he built bigger bonds and filled them too. Now, am I saying something wrong with working and getting and getting and getting? No, but it's the attitude. You see, he didn't, you know, he had all of that, and when he had too much, he never thought about sharing it. And he said, I'm going to have it for years, because he figured the longer he could hold on it, the more he could make from it. God says when he judges anything, he looks at the heart. He never realized that, because he didn't thank God. It don't say he thanked God. And it doesn't, you know, say he realized that everything that he had was because of God. It's all right in getting, but don't leave God out of your plans while you're getting. Because God is in control. You see, at one point, he thought what he had was enough, and then he decided that it wasn't. You see, when greed set in, and the enough was no longer enough, he didn't share. He didn't even start selling out a discount. You got to remember, everything that God gives you is not just for you. Come on now. And they have some that have a lot, and they have some that have not as much as others. That's why the scriptures say, to whom much is given, much is required. And that's why there's a scripture in the Bible where the lady only gave the penny. So if you all the way from a penny to so much, the Bible is not leaving out anyone from being in a position to help someone. And I'm not saying you got to help everybody. But the Holy Spirit is prompting and leading you and guiding you sometime to do things. But you know, it come in your mind, something say, oh, go help Sally. But you push it way in the back. Because God will never lead you astray. And everybody have something to help somebody with, and it don't always have to be money. You see, he only concentrated on me, myself, and I. That's the problem. Never thinking that what he had, God gave to him, and not just for himself. He did not realize that he was a steward. And if there's any of you out there that never thought of it and never, you know, came across you or whatever, the Bible teaches about stewardship. And we are all stewards, because a steward is someone that help hold on and take care of something that belonged to someone else until he come back. Now, when Jesus come back, he's going to ask you, what have you done with what he has given you? And your goal should be that he should be able to say, thy good and faithful servant, well done. And if we look at the 20th verse, but Jesus said unto him, thou fool. Now, watch this. Jesus said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose? 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thou soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Got that? You see, the rich man in the parable died that night before he could begin to use what he had stored in them big bones. Now, let's not get it twisted. And don't take what I'm saying out of context. Planning for retirement, preparing for life, before death is wise. But don't neglect life after death. If you accumulate wealth only to enrich yourself with no concern for helping others, you will enter eternity empty-handed. I didn't say you wouldn't get there. Because if you save, you save. And when we go in eternity with Jesus, is not going to judge our sins because he took away the sins of the world, but he's going to judge our deeds. But if you are only concerned about yourself, never helping others, you will enter eternity empty-handed. And God would ask you, what you will want to know from you, what have you done for me lately? That's a question we should ask ourselves at the end of every day. What have we done for God that day? You know, what did we give him glory? Did we give him praise? Did we call somebody and give him a encouraging word? Did we, you know, what have you done for me lately? You see, Jesus said, fool, all of your greed and extra labor was in vain. And you see, even though he had filled the first barn, he tore all the barns down, and then he had to, you know, harvest some more. You know, all of that time and stuff and labor he was doing, he could have been enjoying himself. You know, not that you getting it is wrong, but what you giving up to get. And then he told him, this night you will die and all you own will belong to someone else. You see, instead of building more bonds, he could have given someone some of the stuff to somebody in need. He didn't realize how much was enough and how much was too much. You see, everything God gives us is not just for us. There are no material possessions that you can take with you beyond the grave. All your property, clothing, investments, money, possessions will belong to someone else when you die. Yet so many people are consumed with worldly possessions, investments, borrowing, watch this, scheming, and planning for years ahead. One day God will say, I'm taking your soul, and you will have nothing in eternity. Only God knows how many untold billions of people have died unexpectedly, and we know people are dying every day, such as the wealthy man in his lesson. We are not ready to meet who he was not ready to meet God. He was just ready for this world and thought he was in control, and he was afforded the privilege to do it as he had to do, but he died. Now he got to face God. Now what? Most people today are living selfishly for themselves, always thinking in terms of dollars and cents. Life is so short, it will be over before you know what happened. What treasures have you laid up in heaven as a Christian? When the last time have you witnessed to someone about the gospel of Jesus Christ? When was the last time you helped a poor person or shared Jesus with them or gave them a word of encouragement? All of us have something to share with others because that's the way God designed it. There are so many fools in the world today who are living as if life will never end. They boast in their own goodness instead of boasting about the goodness of God. They stuff their faces with all types of delicacy without even thanking God, even for the one morsel of food they eat. Come on now, don't say your blessings. You know, there's 86,400 seconds in a day. and they don't even stop to say, I love you, God, even once. I thank you, God. Yet God, you know, and in spite of all of this, God gave his only begotten son to pay for our sins. Jesus paid the debt that he did not owe. Come on now. Because we owed a big debt that we couldn't pay. And we should be thankful and grateful. You see, Jesus paid everything that we owed so that we could have eternal life. Jesus is not just speaking pay-as-you-go faith, or you can only get if you do this for that. He don't play tit for tat. Jesus say, I love the whole world. I shine on the just as well as the unjust. You know when you was wilding in your sin, Jesus still had you in his hand. Come on now. He didn't leave you out there. You were still being blessed. But he wants us to participate in a relationship in which God has already provided for us, that he wishes his people would be in a relationship and be willing to give back unto him, and not just to him, but for the well-being of all. And if we look at the 21st verse, it said, so is he that lays up treasure for himself is not rich towards God. If you're not sowing into the kingdom, you're sowing into the world. You have to look at everything that you do and everywhere you spend your money and where you put your time in and where you do your life living. You can look at yourself today and see where you're doing it. Because you are either sowing into the kingdom or you're sowing into the world. Where's your time, resources, talent, and money is going? You would be the one that'd be able to say that, and I'm not taking tolls or records. Evaluate yourself. Evaluate yourself, your time, your talent, your resources, and your money. See where most of it is directed to. See if there's a balance anyway in that, and see is how you're treating God with the things that he has given you. You see, everything on this side of heaven is temporal. And you will not be able to take anything with you. So you have to at some point say, how much is enough of this and how much is enough of that and how much is too much of this and how much is too much of that? Evaluate yourself. You see, the scriptures let us know only what you do for Christ will last, and that we should be seeking ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, then all things will be added unto us. Why do you save money to retire? Why are you saving money? To buy more expensive cars or toys, electronics, eat different food, go to the restaurants. All of that's fine and good if you got it going on like that. But even with having it going on like that, you know, some things is just, you know, I'll give an example. They got these stories on TV and it's the rich and famous, and, you know, they take their dog and they got their dog with a house that costs $6 million. Come on now, y'all. For a dog. How much is too much and how much is not enough? Jesus is challenging us to think beyond earthbound goals and to use what we have been given for God's kingdom. Faith, service, and obedience are the way to become rich towards God. And that's my lesson for the night. And if anyone would like to say anything at this time, you could press the one button on your phone. Y'all, we gotta get, this world is really upside down. And you could see evil and darkness on every side. We have to be the light. They say, because where light enters, dark have to disappear. But we got to stop compromising. And we got to stop allowing the world to conform us to its value and start saying everything is okay. You know, it's okay for this. You know, it's okay for that. Because that's what the person feels. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible say that man is going to start doing everything that's seeming right in his eyes. And that's what they was doing with Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's why God burnt the town down. They say every man is going to be doing what's seeming right in his eyes. And that's what they was doing in the time of Noah. And that's why God allowed the flood. You know, every time the Israelites would just get in themselves and believe they was big and bad enough to do anything that they wanted to do, and God allowed them to be captive. That's how they got captive by the Babylonians. Come on now, y'all. And became slaves for so many years. And just like those things happen, we as individuals have to watch out for ourselves and our souls and what we're trying to do and what we need to do. If anyone would like to make a comment, you could press it at this time. I want y'all to keep in prayer Jeanette Clark. Keep her in prayer. She's about to start her chemo. I want you to keep Benita Washington in prayer. I want you to remember Diane McBride and pray for her sons and her grandson. I want to ask you all to pray for all of the young men that's in prison and pray for our youth on the street, that God can turn their life around and that they would just say, just think for a while and say, what must I do to be saved? It is our responsibility. I have a caller. Caller, your number is 225-650. Your mic is open.
Oh, I just wanted to tell you that everything you said was confirmation, what I was telling someone about maybe 4 days ago. So everything that you said, it was just confirmation.
All right. Who is this?
Allison.
Okay, so glad for you to be on the line tonight, Allison. And I thank you for calling in, and I pray that you call back again. And it's confirmation because, you know, it is what it is. And we
right,
have to speak it, and we have to know it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Everything you see,
that,
I was on. Go ahead, baby.
Oh, because they were saying that they had read the Bible through and through, and you know, God wants us to have money and all this kind of stuff. And I said, well, God bless you with money. I said, but, you know, the best thing that he can bless you with is his word, you know, and his discernment.
Right.
And the riches and everything else, that comes, you know, after. But it could be anything. It could be a kind
right.
word, or, you know, because you can't buy peace. And you can't buy, you know, sense and discernment. You can't get none of that.
You can't get it with money. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I just had surgery and stuff like that. And some of my days, if I could have took the money I had and paid for the feel good like my old self, I would have spent that money. But money couldn't do it. And just like
right.
you saying, you know, when God asked Solomon, he told Solomon he would give him anything that he wanted. And Solomon told him, I want to know how to rule over your people justly. He said, but because of that, he gave him wisdom, and wisdom allow you to get everything you need.
Right.
You know, and then
and
the Bible
the
says
that you need.
Right. And the Bible
and the
speaks
time.
Of seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He's saying everything will be added to you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But God knows how much is enough for us and how
right.
much is too much.
Right.
So, Allison, I pray that
God,
you call.
You're not going to do the right thing.
That's right. And I pray that you call back again. And, God bless you, okay?
Okay, thank you. God bless you, too.
Thank you. I have another caller. Your number is 97519. Your mic is open.
Minister Diane, this is Patricia, and I just wanted to say I enjoyed it. I always enjoyed it. I always, you know, I always tell you I'm beating off the leftovers. I really enjoyed it. I especially enjoyed the part about the stewardship because we are stewards, and it was just confirmation about a word that I have been receiving from God about being a steward, a good steward. And he had been dealing with me about being a better steward over the things that he had given me already. Just things, the things that he had been, you know, that he had been, that he has given me. And so, you know, what have you done with what I have given you? You know, where is it? What are you doing with it? You know,
mm-hmm.
So it was just a confirmating word, and I appreciate it, and I thank God for you. And don't stop. I needed that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sister Pat. I had another little part on this lesson. It was about three people. One man worked so much, and, you know, let's say he was a doctor. You're not a doctor. And he worked and worked and worked and worked and worked. His children was ill. His wife was dead. She felt like her husband wasn't by, you know, and all like that. You know how that go. But he kept saying he was working to take care of his family. So their house got bigger and the bills got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's what he did. One man wouldn't work at all, and he was slothful, and God hates slothfulness. But the other man, he was working, and he decided what he needed. He made a plan, and he worked the plan. He wanted to know how much time he needed to share with his family for it to be good time. He wanted to know how much money he needs for to give his family everything they need and maybe some of the things that they wanted, but not everything. You know what I'm saying? So they say, what was the better of the three? You got to have balance. I know so many people work. God didn't intend it to be that way. And then what, you know, what they do, they get the money. If they're working that much, they're making more money. And what they're doing with the money, they're buying new toys. You know, they're buying this, they're buying that. And just like I said, don't get it twisted. God wants us to have, he said, because I come that you have life. And you have life more abundantly. He said, because it's the thief that come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I come that you have life. He said, everything belongs to me. All the cattle in the hills. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof. And everything that belongs to me. He said, what kind of father would I be to withhold anything from my child? So God wants you to have. But everything not for everybody. God gave all of us a specific intent. And certain things is necessary for that specific intent. Not everything ain't for everybody. But whatever you have, you be thankful. Paul said, I be content in the state that I'm in. He didn't say, you know, I just want to be poor. I'm not going to try to do better. He said, but what it is, that's what it is. And we have to learn those things in life. But I am so grateful. And Sister Patricia, I thank you for calling. It is now 9:34. I always try to stop at 9. So I'm going to do that at this time. If someone would like to lead us out with a benediction or with a benediction prayer, it would be so much appreciative. I would appreciate it so much. And if no one would like to do it, because no thing is lit up. So let us go into prayer, and then we're going to end the program for the night. And if it's God's will, I'll be back Wednesday. Full force, ready, willing, and able to be used by the Holy Ghost. Dear Heavenly Father, Amen. Precious God, Lord, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you, dear God, for allowing us to be together one more time. Lord, I want to thank you for all. Thank you, dear God, for everything. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to be together tonight. I thank the Holy Ghost that the word won't return void. I thank you, dear God, that someone's going to meditate on this word and they're going to get illumination and revelation. I thank you, dear God, that you're going to keep all of us in perfect peace till we meet again. I thank you, dear God, that your word is true. I thank you, dear God, that you ordained and you orchestrated this night. And I believe you want us to be back on Wednesday night. And if it's your will, it's going to be done. Lord, I pray that we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now, henceforth, and forevermore. And let the church say amen. I have a caller that has their button, and I'm going to caller, your number is 985. Your number is 985-774. Your mic is now open.
Hello, Sister Diane. I just wanted to say the prayer tonight. I was going to press in and say the prayer.
You know, I never have too many.
No, I just wanted to say that I hope we all, thankful for God giving you, using you as an instrument of His and giving us knowledge. And we want to keep you safe. We want to keep everybody that's calling in, and we want to keep them safe. We want to keep them in the Word, and we want them sharing the Word. You know, and even if it's in the grocery store, any time that you have an opportunity, just to spread the Word, or if you have the extra money to give, you know, and. Just be happy, just like you said, for what you have, and be blessed. It might not be much, but you have your roof over your head, and you're in a good place if you're in the Bible.
That's right.
And that's all.
Lead us out with prayer.
That was pretty much my prayer. That was, you know, just praying for everybody that's listening in, and praying for your listeners to grow, and just keeping you strong. Because I think God's using you as an instrument to teach us, and you're a very, very good teacher.
Thank you
Go ahead. You know, just pray that everybody stays in the Word, and everybody spreads the Word.
And Sister McBride, I thank you so much, because you've always given me words of encouragement. Because sometimes we wonder just what we're doing and how does it matter. But I also want to thank you, because you always encourage us to go share and do. You know, the Great Commission in the Bible is, go ye therefore into all nations, preaching and teaching the gospel. You know, that God, if God said that's the great commandment, then at some point in our lives we should realize that's what we should be doing. So
you feel good doing it too,
huh?
And it makes you feel good doing it too. No matter.
And you
got to
remember when you
word,
speak,
giving.
Right? And then this is what some people don't realize: when you share a word, you hear yourself. The Bible says, "Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." When you take and share a word of God with somebody, you hear yourself speaking, and it helps to build you up and edify you. So you can't lose with what God. God ain't going to ask you to shed a word and you ain't going to get nothing from it. You get your pay right back there when you hear yourself in your ears, especially if you're talking the truth. You get your pay right there. Bam. You lift it up. You're edified. So that's our program for tonight. And if it's God's will, I'll be back with you on next week. God loves you, and so do I. Be blessed. And that's our program for tonight. See you next week.